Just like that, the final hour is here for Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Glad you're with us. Hope you'll subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're watching the show, if you're listening to this great radio partner, we say thank you. We're with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine live from 6th and Peabody. If you missed portions of today's show, head over to outkick.com. You can check out the podcast there. You can also download the podcast, add it to your subscription list wherever you download your audio daily. Chad, you and I agree here. We don't think LeBron James is retiring. But last night, he ended the press conference by saying this.
In the locker room for a little bit, I think we came to the consensus that, you know, if not one of the best, probably the best team that we've played since we've been together for our 4 years. They're just well orchestrated, well put together. They have scoring, they have shooting, they have playmaking, they have smarts, they have length, they have depth. And one thing about their team, when you have a guy like Joker, who as big as he is, but also as cerebral he is, you can't really make many mistakes versus a guy like that. And even when you guard him for one of the best possessions that you think you'd guard him, he puts the ball behind his head, Larry Bird style, and shoots it 50 feet in the air, and it goes in. I think he did it like 4 or 5 times this series.
Jokic headed to the NBA Finals. LeBron headed home. We don't believe he's headed to retirement, just the offseason. He has a $100 million option that he's an extension that he signed last season that hasn't even really kicked in yet. It kicks in next year with $47 million, then another $50-plus the following season. That's his decision, not the team's decision. Point being, he's giving praise to the Nuggets while also being very coy in the final answer about, well, we'll see what happens. We'll analyze things and see what the Lakers do. He's returning to play, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He's not pulling the Jordan where he's leaving for a couple of seasons and waiting on Bronny.
Definitely not going to play baseball.
I definitely think he wants – but I do think it is a 2023 version of that. He doesn't have to leave to play Major League Baseball. He could leave and then play his hand to where he goes wherever his son ends up. That, I mean, again, like that would be Jordan-esque of LeBron just to do that because he has mentioned doing that. I do also believe he wants to own that franchise in Vegas. He's already a billionaire per Forbes. And if he wants to own an NBA franchise, my guess is – his son's going to be playing for that franchise. Now, it's not going to be initially. It's not going to be on contract one. But they're going to King James will dictate what happens. Just ask Dylan Brooks. LeBron's not going anywhere. He's staying with the Lakers. And this is also a power play to see what the Lakers will do to upgrade the roster to match Denver, who's headed to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history.
And his words last night and his whole demeanor didn't strike me as a guy who's really, truly contemplating retiring. We're stepping away from the guy. It struck me more as, we'll see what happens. A lot of questions to answer. Like, I haven't thought about it yet. You know, I haven't gotten into my offseason or what the future holds, but also sounded more like the season just ended. I'm not thinking in these playoff games about retirement, that this may be the end. I didn't get that sense from him. So I think he'll be back. I think he will play with his son for one season. I think that's always been the goal for him. He's discussed that as his goal. Said he doesn't know if that's the goal of his son, but I think that's where this thing is headed.
I'm doing this spur of the moment, and I hate doing this. Davey, put your headset on because I want to participate from your end too. But Chad, dabble with this topic. There are 5 franchises right now who have not made. They have not made the NBA Finals.
5 franchises to have never made the NBA Finals.
They've never reached the NBA
after
Finals.
After the Nuggets, right?
After the Nuggets, there were 6. Now there are 5.
The Hornets.
The Hornets, yes, the most popular pencil in elementary school, the Charlotte Hornets. They are number 3 on the list, 33 years as a franchise without making the NBA Finals. Guess a couple more times. I won't put everyone on the spot here.
Clippers?
The Clippers are number 1, 53 years. They've never made it. That was number 1. Denver was 2nd at 47, I believe, 47
yep.
years.
Pelicans?
Pelicans, yes, 21 years as a franchise. They have not made it.
I would also add the Grizzlies.
Grizzlies, yes, 28 years from Vancouver to Memphis.
And there's one left?
There is one left.
Kings?
Not the Kings.
So the Kings made it as like the Rochester Royals.
I guess.
I think it's back. They're one of the original
NBA
teams.
Chad, you and I have
NBA
watched
teams.
This franchise in person.
The Timberwolves.
Yes.
Huh.
34 seasons without a
title. That narrowed it down quickly. We walked through that maze of that whatever it was in Minneapolis to get over to the game.
The Clippers, though, 53 years. Timberwolves with 34. Charlotte with 33. Memphis with 28. And New Orleans with 21. And the reason I bring this up, I think if you don't have the off-the-court drama with the Memphis Grizzlies, and it was last offseason compared to this offseason, I think the majority of people would point to Memphis as the next team to crack the code. I really do. With Ja Morant and everything they had going for them. Now they don't even know what's going to come of their best player that the max contract hasn't even kicked in yet. That's the franchise that could become the Denver Nuggets.
I think
as you sit and round
and away. A year ago, right before you mentioned before the controversy, if we were listing next big thing, Western Conference.
Yes.
In some order, it would have been Nuggets, Grizzlies, right towards the top.
Yeah, and we're not
of what was building.
Yeah, or built, but haven't kicked down the door. We're not mentioning the Kings, right?
No, but now they're becoming that next thing.
Yes. Yes.
It's not the Grizzlies.
And
it's weird that the Grizzlies almost feel played out just because of Ja Morant and a little bit of Dylan Brooks, and they're showing in the playoffs. It feels, even though they were the higher seed than the Lakers, who eventually played in the Western Conference Finals, they feel almost played out.
But I feel like that based on this and based how things played out off the court, that the identity played against them. You know, the grind city mentality.
Yeah.
The whole it's Memphis versus the world, it played against them in some degree. To where they treated Ja Morant like he had a terminal illness announcement when they sent him away for a couple of days. He's dealing with something going on in his life, and we'll deal with this later, but you know, allow him to be with his family is what it felt like when they sent him away for the drive-through treatment.
Well, if you remember the Grizzlies,
Florida.
The first Memphis Grizzlies teams that got good and I think made a Western Conference Finals once. I know they upset the Spurs one year was Zach
Randolph-led
team. Zach Randolph was a legit tough guy. There's some fake tough guy with this current Grizzlies roster, I feel like.
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks is one of them. I think Ja Morant is one of them. They're stars.
You
talked about Grind City and the origination of that. That was the Zach Randolph Grizzlies teams.
Yep.
That was legit. Mike Miller on those teams. I felt like that was a legit type of ethos with the Grizzlies. I think it's more facade now with this Grizzlies team. There's some fake tough guy to go around with those teams.
Are there fake superstars with Boston right now with a chance of elimination tonight in Miami?
I didn't think so because, you know, they score Jason Tatum scores 51 points in a game 7.
Yeah.
And had to come back and retract the fact that he's not an alpha in the NBA because he was in that game. Then they get to the next series and completely blows that out of the water. And now they all look like they're not superstars again.
Chad, Mark Jackson on the call of the Western Conference Finals. What do you think what's going through his mind as he watches Jokic just dominate?
It's tough to crush the guy.
Leaving him off the ballot for MVP altogether.
It's tough to crush the guy simply because he did own his mistake and say, look, it was an oversight. Clearly, he's one of the best five players in the league. If you notice what I did, I used five positions.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't do it like the top five guys in the MVP voting. But I got to think that it's got to be a little bit awkward for Mark Jackson to sit there courtside and call these games and know that everyone knows that he's the only MVP voter who did not have Jokic in the top five in his MVP vote. It's got to be awkward knowing that Charles Barkley, before he knew it was Mark Jackson, came out on Inside the NBA and said, whoever did that is an idiot and should lose their voting privilege from here on out. He's called the Western Conference Finals. It was a four-game sweep, thankfully, for Mark Jackson, but not thankfully that it was Jokic leading the way for the Nuggets to advance the NBA Finals. So I just think it's an awkward situation for him at this point to continue calling these games.
Well, it wasn't awkward for Ben Roethlisberger. It was just in spite. He was rooting against Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh and said as much, Chad. And you commend him for this, the brutal honesty of, hey, I wouldn't say that I wanted this dude to fail, but I would say I didn't want him to be so great that everyone forgot about me, Big Ben, in Pittsburgh. Because towards the end of his final year in Pittsburgh, it was bad. Like, if we're listing off the worst starting quarterbacks in December that year, Ben Roethlisberger is close to the top of my list. It was that bad. However, they were a 12-win team the season prior to Big Ben's final year. And, Chad, I understand why they ran it back. I also understand why they moved on. And Roethlisberger wasn't ready for that. The brutal reality that they were going with Kenny Pickett, and Roethlisberger at best was going to get a call from the San Francisco 49ers in December of this past year to see if he's available, because all they have is Brock Purdy.
Well, let me translate what he's saying there when he says, it's not like I want him to fail. No, he wanted him to fail. there's a great sequence in Varsity Blues where Bud Kilmer says, you know, you got this guy over here right now praying you all lose so he can be the missing link. Talking about Lance Harbor, who gets hurt. And that's the only reason that he was trying to go against the coach. Look, there's some truth to that. I love that Ben Roethlisberger acknowledges a very human reaction. When you are replaced by someone else and you don't know that person, the natural inclination is to root for their failure. And you want to be seen as superior to that person. Now, it would be different if he and, you know, Kenny Pickett were boys and or they had some prior relationship and you're rooting for your friend to fail. That's a little bit more extreme, right? But I think what Ben Roethlisberger's saying is exactly the way most people would feel in any situation. Take it out of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. If you are the lead accountant at a firm and you leave for another firm, you probably secretly deep down, even if you say all the right things, you want the person that took your spot to fail and to not be as good as you. Very natural, very human response. I got no issue with it. And I, much like with Mark Jackson, I appreciate the honesty in this from Ben Roethlisberger to say it. And now he's saying, you know, I'm not rooting against him anymore. Also,
yeah,
I think that
turns with it.
That certainly can evolve also. Give anything a little bit of time. And it's not the freshness of it that's there. And you mellow, you chill out on things. And that this is one of those cases.
What do you think, Davey?
I was going to say the other thing about this situation is Pickett already being in Pittsburgh as a Panther. Like, a lot of those fans are also thinking, like, hey, this is the guy that, you know, has grown up in this area for the last several years. And I think a lot of programs, whenever you look at your NFL team, if your college team also has a tie into that, you're even rooting for that player more so. And I think that was something Ben was also seeing in this situation.
Yeah, for sure.
And the
hometown kid done right.
Yeah,
I think is a big part of it with Steelers fans in that region.
And think about
Roethlisberger also doesn't care about that. You know, he's probably hearing more noise about it, but he doesn't care that he
also
went to
think about how we will remember Roethlisberger compared to Le'Veon Bell or, you know, any of the top players, Antonio Brown, that played for other organizations. The one team aspect plays a factor moving forward. And also the September mentality is different than the December mentality, where you feel great and it's week one and you're not the quarterback of the Steelers.
If you were going to be critical.
And then it's week 17, you're like, I'm glad I'm not the quarterback of the Steelers.
Look, if you're going to be critical of Ben Roethlisberger in any way for this, my one critique would be, are you really that insecure about your legacy as a Steelers great and quarterback to worry whether or not Kenny Pickett succeeds in year one, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like you should feel this. I've accomplished it. I've done it. I'm off in the sunset now. And I wish this kid the best, but I've already been there and done that.
I think it's a natural feeling, though, right, when you've been in the organization that long. And they've always deferred to you, and for the first time, they didn't.
Do you think Logan Ryan has rooted against guys who've replaced him when he's moved on
to
another team?
Yeah, especially
if he was being honest, he'd tell us that he has.
The players that get number 26, absolutely.
I would. I'm petty enough to admit that I absolutely would do the same.
Logan Ryan, defensive back in the NFL, joins us in studio when we return. Also in studio is the Brian Ware, the social media Instagram guru, known for the best shoe collection. Period. The Brian Ware on Instagram, following Logan Ryan around. I say that in jest, but I do know where they came from, and they walk the streets, probably doing a shoot for whatever shoes Logan is wearing currently. So we'll ask about that.
They look expensive.
Yes, it's expensive to get on Brian's.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
I know that.
I'm not a fashion expert, that's for sure. But they look expensive.
They definitely are. We talk all NFL with Logan Ryan next on Hot Mic. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow rolls on across the Outkick Network. In studio with us here at 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. NFL defensive back Logan Ryan joins us, friend of the show, former host of the Logan Ryan Show with us. Good to see you, man.
Great to be back, man.
You're back. What brings you back to town?
Oh, man, I'm a little media run. I had a good little showing on Good Morning Football, I guess.
Yep.
And I watched the whole show.
Chad raved about this.
I don't watch the show normally, and I happened to turn over there for something, and I saw Logan on it. And I told him before he came on, I said, this is really good. They had like a little quiz game about Rutgers football that I enjoyed. He was doing a great job.
Yeah, they gave me some story time segments, allowed me just to, you know, the way I kind of talk about football is always in stories. And I just have a memory from a lot of games, and I'm able just to bring them up. And I told them that, and they really let me just, here's 5 minutes, talk. Here's, you know, they didn't baby me. They allowed me to lead segments. And obviously I have Jason on there, another former Titan.
Yep.
So we're having our little banter that I have with the Cordys all the time. So it was really fun, and I had a lot of fun doing it. I honestly turned down a lot of interviews and TV stuff because of my family, and I want to be home, and I want to focus on the things that I'm doing at the time. But right now it's like, you know what, let's keep it running. So I got some hits in media in Nashville this week. I'll be with you guys today, Bobby Bones podcast tomorrow, and some other stuff going. So I love coming back here, see how much the city grew, and it's crazy.
So I'm curious. Last time you joined us, I think it was right after Brady retired. I think that was the last time you joined us.
And then before that
was during the joint practice when the Bucks were in town. Logan, a member of the Patriots, Titans, Giants, and then the Bucks, free agent for GMs watching. And you told us then you weren't sure what was going on with Brady. This was whenever he was not present for about 11 days during camp. But I did notice you got a football signed by him a couple days before he announced he was retiring. Did you know ahead of time that he was stepping away from the game for good?
Oh, what a juicy question to start it. I didn't know if he was stepping away for good, 100%. But I didn't know if he'll be back on the Bucks. So I didn't know if he was going to go play somewhere else or retire. It just was nothing was certain that he was coming back on the Bucks next year. It wasn't like set up, like his contract wasn't set up like that. Like he wasn't it seemed like there was some finality of the playoffs, like, all right, let's give it our last best shot. And I had that football laying around for years. And you know me, I give away all my interceptions. We talked about this on my show. I get an interception. If I have a family friend that's a Cowboys fan, I pick off a Cowboys player, I give him the ball. If I have Steelers, I give them the ball, whatever. I gave my mom my first interception. I gave my dad the Peyton Manning ball, whatever. So the Brady one, I held on to that one.
Which was his final game in Foxborough.
Yeah. So I held on to that one, and it was just getting, like, kicked around the house, auto dash, running around with the ball, whatever. And then when he went to the Bucks, won a Super Bowl and retired, whatever, the first time, I was like, oh, this ball might be worth something. Because I saw that one ball got auctioned, Mike Evans, last touchdown, whatever.
Yeah,
quickly auctioned and re-auctioned, whatever. It was like $500,000 or something. I was like, hold on, let me pick this ball, put it on the shelf. So I put it on the shelf in my office, and it was sitting there. And then we went along the season. I was busy. He was busy. We're really tight because, obviously we knew each other. So I was like, you know what, man? The season's winding down. We're heading to the playoffs. Let me bring some things in to get signed. So I had some Brady jerseys, and I kind of just like left it in his locker. I'm like, hey, man, I left some stuff, you know, in your locker for you to sign. There's a little note, like who's it to or whatever. He's like, yeah, no, I got you. Whatever you need, buddy. And I just like put like your last pass as a Patriot with a smiley face. And he played along great. And he obviously put it on Twitter, and he did it. But yeah, I tricked him to sign his last interception ball. Got the value up.
No doubt. And it worked. I just That's assume awesome. You knew, and many of the teammates that followed him there knew what was going down. Now he's a part owner of the Raiders, so I'm assuming he's not coming out of retirement. It's final.
Where does Brady rank as you've had a lot of teammates over the course of your college pro career, right? Where does Brady rank as teammates you've had along the way?
I mean, I think there's a lot of things that can be like what makes a good like a friend, right? Like I think there's different types of friends.
But well, obviously the quarterback position is treated differently than others, so it's a different spot.
I would say he's up there with me because he's very genuine for the type of star that he is. I think a lot of times they say you don't want to meet your idols and they don't live up to the hype. Like, he lives, he's a really good human being. And then early in my career, I looked up to him in terms of, one, he's the best player on our team. He's our team captain. He's our leader. He has immense amount of pressure on him. He still performs. He's the hardest worker. So I kind of like got some of my study habits and my work habits. And like, I want to be a great pro. Like, let me study Brady. Let me study Edelman. Let me study McCourty. Those are some of the guys I kind of looked up to. And then I think after leaving New England and playing against him, I earned a lot of his respect because I felt like as a Titan, my greatest games were against the Patriots because we played them
every year.
2 years prior in the playoffs. People forget about that one, right? They beat us and mm-hmm. we weren't ready, but I knew what to expect. They no-huddled us. We weren't ready. And then the next year, we played them in the regular season, really beat their butts. Like, beat them bad. Remember?
It was a blowout here.
That's really what kicked you guys off on this playoff push.
Yeah, and really beat them pretty bad. And it's probably one of our better wins of a regular season in the Titans. And you obviously know the significance of Vrabel playing Belichick, all the storylines. And I always matched up with Edelman and always, you know, went against Brady and always had really good games. And then obviously the playoff game was one of my better games. It's probably my most famous game as a Titan, right? To knock that out and how it went. So I feel like I earned his respect a ton as just competitors in the league. Like, I'm not afraid of you. I play you at a high level. So then we kind of had just texting and kind of continued. And then when we were teammates, I just think we were older players on our team, elder statement on the Bucks. And then also parenting. Like, I have kids now. He has kids now. He was going through his situation with his family, and our families bonded off the field with going to the animal shelter and whatnot.
Yeah, the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation, you can check out online at RARF.
Ruff, yeah, ruff.org. Like
org.
A dog, ruff, ruff.
Logan, so what is the hot button issue right now with players around the league in regards to the league itself?
I mean, I think you have to say this Thursday night flex is insane.
It's got to be.
I mean, imagine you get paid. You can lose your job on a bad week. Right, so performance is 100%. You could be the best practice player in the world, and if you just have a bad playoff game or a bad couple weeks, a bad string of things, you don't get 30, 60 games like an MLB player to find your swing, you know?
And you could be remembered for that.
Yeah, yeah. So careers are written really quickly in NFL. It's really short. So we have so many performances, and we prepare all week for this one performance. And then you're going to move that up three, 4 days, and you're talking about the recovery of our bodies and all that stuff. You need our best effort. And you're going to say, hey, by the way, guys. And it sucks for the fans. It sucks for the fans that are traveling, that are planning. I really respected what John Mara came out and said, who's this for? But it's definitely not for the player. No player in the NFL likes Thursday night football. And to move it up earlier is just, I mean, that's no player wanted that.
Well, and it's based on when it's going to happen. It's for playoff eligible teams. They want the best ratings on Amazon because Amazon's paying the $1 billion a year.
Yeah, I understand.
And so you've got the playoff teams that are gunning for a spot playing on a short notice week. And who knows who you're playing the week after.
Yep.
And if I'm playing the team the week after and you guys stay healthy, hypothetically, you get extra rest. Because I'm playing on Sunday or Monday night, potentially, going into a next week where you had Thursday and you've got the weekend.
Yeah, there's no other sport that's doing that. And imagine if you're Derrick Henry and you're a workhorse and you're – whole week is managed for you to peak at the game day. And then, oh, yeah, Derek, you're going to get these 35 carries 3 days earlier. That's just a big adjustment for our bodies.
Well, so just
what? How much do you laugh, though, to Hutton's point about this? You know, the talking out of both sides of the mouth, right?
Yeah.
Like we care about player safety. And I do think that, you know, the NFL does care because players are assets, right? And you don't want assets to depreciate too quickly.
And the lawsuits.
So why? And I hate to dehumanize it, but the talk of, hey, we want to be safe on kickoffs, so we're going to change the rules here, but we're going to change Thursday night and flex teams in and out. Do you laugh when you hear that, Logan?
Yeah, I mean, the player safety, like you said, we're assets, right? And you want to protect your assets. So why are you putting turf fields down? What asset wants to play on a turf field? Like, when the World Cup's coming here in 2028 or whatever, guess what they're rolling down in MetLife? Grass.
Grass. They're mandatory.
Right. So Mbappe ain't playing on no turf. He's an asset. So why is Derrick Henry playing on turf? You know, why are we rolling that down? That no player has ever pulled, like, I feel better on turf. I feel faster on turf. I recover better on turf. It doesn't. No, we all think turf stinks, and we have to do it, and it's worse on our bodies. Recovery's worse. And you literally get way more lower body injuries on it.
Logan Ryan in studio with us here on Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. So I'll be real with you, man. I have ripped apart the players' union for the NFL, the NFLPA, compared to the NBA and Major League Baseball in particular. Because the reason why they can vote this through in May for the upcoming season is because of the Players Association and the collective bargaining agreement. And for the life of me, I don't know why. And it starts with the quarterbacks, by the way. I feel like Lamar Jackson tried to change up a bit of what we were seeing. He was demanding the fully guaranteed deal. Deshaun Watson got it. The other owners hate the Haslams for it. But Deshaun Watson got it. And Lamar Jackson was saying, hey, I would like to set a precedent. Now Joe Burrow is going to eventually be the highest paid player per year on annual average value, but it's not going to matter because it's not going to be fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, based on the way the CBA is set up in the NFL compared to the other, in Major League Baseball, fully guaranteed, and the owners are still paying those money, and they're still making a boatload. In the NBA, the players run the league. And well, in the NFL, you're told in May that you could potentially play on Thursday night on 15 days notice for the upcoming season. Yeah, there's a huge difference there.
I can go in on you on this because I was a player rep for a long time. So I would say the reason why the NFL players have the least amount of power, one, we have the shortest career span. So you're telling guys that are going to play an average of 2 years, sit out a year and strike. We have the largest union. So we have the most players. The NBA has a roster of 13 guys. Right, we have a roster of 53.
Right,
with the shortest span, with the best amateur football, amateur sport called the SEC. So those players will come up.
But you also hold the most valuable position in sports, the quarterback position.
Yeah, but they have the least amount of time to get that money, and the NFL has been the only major league sport to unsuccessfully strike. We've never done. They locked us out in 2011, and players were. We're back asking for a new deal. We have the richest owners in all of sport, the most powerful 32 men in the country, right? So they have more money than NBA owners. They have more money than MLB owners. They're smarter, and I feel like they play the most hardball. So it's hard. Yes, I agree. I was winning. I didn't vote for 17 games. The Titans, I was a Titans rep. I said no, right? But what is my alternative? Tell these guys to sit out a year and miss a year's salary because the unions, our players, I represent all our players, and our players don't want to do that.
And at the time, you were on your second deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which meant you got paid.
I got paid, but I'll still miss out on $10 million that year.
Right.
And I was willing to risk that for the.
You could risk that, but the guy that's making $900,000 couldn't risk that.
The $900,000 guy making $300,000. We got the minimum salary raised up double for that player. But I will say this, it's a common misconception. There's nothing in the NBA CBA or the MLB CBA that says guaranteed contracts are mandated. There's nothing that says that in our CBA if you look at it. The precedent happened because star players said, I'm playing for a guaranteed contract. And that became the precedent, Michael Jordan and them, right?
So is that what Lamar was trying to do?
That's what Lamar was trying to do, but no owner paid him that.
But the quarter, like, so that's my point, though. The quarterbacks, would if they banded together, I think they could create this same mentality.
A quarterback union, basically, is what Hutton's talking about.
That's where
the starting quarterback said, we'll strike.
No doubt. That's where
it starts. What would happen?
They've never done that because I think the quarterback is the biggest asset to the franchise. And they're doing more business with the owner than they are with the players, right? I know that, like, TB12 facility is right next to the stadium. And I know Robert Kraft and Tom Brady are close. You know, I know that these quarterbacks and owners, I know Mahomes and the owner is close.
Sure.
You know, so you're going to sit there and screw the owner and say, hey, I'm not coming if you don't give me this. I just don't think we have the power collectively because our union's so young, our union's so large, we have the shortest career, and we have the so obviously you add all those factors up, that's why we have the weakest union.
So I'm watching Winning Time on HBO, great show about the Lakers in the 80s, and the knock, and you're starting to see it now, was that Dr. Jerry Buss and Magic Johnson, they were in cahoots. They were too buddy-buddy. He was hanging out and partying with the owner and the other players in the locker room, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar included, didn't trust Magic Johnson because they looked at him as management at that point because he was so close with the owner. You're talking about that with quarterbacks, which makes sense for those guys. Is that a common thought around the league? And it may be different from locker room to locker room of, we got to be careful around certain quarterbacks or they're more in with the owners than we are. Is that a thought with players?
Nah, I don't think so. I just think it's business, man. And you understand, like, they are the quarterback's most important position in the building, and the owner obviously needs to be close to that player. The quarterback needs to feel protected. And I say, you know, I say all that to say, like, look, when you're collectively bargaining as well, like, all the things you're saying, I stood up on that. I was one vote. But you have to give up something as well, too, right? It's a sliding scale. So what are you giving up, right? Like, hey, we want to get rid of turf fields. All right, play an 18th game. Or we want this. This isn't
it's
fair.
It's a negotiation.
Yeah, it's negotiation. Yeah. Okay, well, give up your health benefits. You know, it's like, all right, give up your 401k. You know, it's stuff that, like, oh, we can't give up our 401k, right? Guys actually need that. Oh, screw the former players then. Whatever. Oh, we want to raise minimum wage. Okay, what are you going to give that? You're going to play on Thursday nights then. You know, everything was negotiated. They're not giving you anything. You're giving up something to get anything. And everything happened where we got a little more piece of the pie in terms of percentage of revenue for an extra game. And then now you see all the other things that are happening on top of it. But it's because they can, and why not? You know, it's more money.
Which team has been bad that you're believing in based on offseason moves?
Been bad as in?
It could be recently or just historically. Like, everyone's talking about the Lions. Generally, the team that wins the offseason doesn't win the Super Bowl. But everyone's pointing to Detroit as the team.
Yeah. I think Atlanta would be better. I like Art. I think Art's really smart. Art definitely earns his job. He's a great schematic. He's great in a red area. And he's got just good football players. And I think that's a lot how the 49ers are built. A little positionless. They just have good offensive weapons. And they put them in different spots. Receivers, running backs. I think with Bijan Robinson and that addition, I think Calais Campbell. You know, I'm big on the locker room leader, veteran. I think it establishes a huge pecking order. I think a big issue with the Titans when they let Jarrell Casey go, and they did. I don't think people understand the ramifications of how important he was to that team. It's hard to replace. So I like what Atlanta, I think they're going for it. And I think the NFC South's a little more open with Brady gone. Obviously, the Saints will be better with Derek Carr. But I think – and then obviously the Panthers are interesting. So that's an interesting division.
Have you ever thought about coaching?
Too many hours. I coach my son, undefeated. 5U soccer team.
Dad's coaching now.
2 seasons in a row.
Coach my daughter's softball team and now our travel team too. Undefeated, but hey, we're 1 of 3 teams still playing in the tournament.
Yeah,
so we're doing okay.
We run a triangle offense, Pep Guardiola moving the ball around.
Nice.
But
ultimate football.
I just think, you know, the NFL, man, that's a coaching fraternity, and you miss a lot of time with your family, and I financially don't have to do that. So if I could change the game and cut the hours in half, I would, but I don't know if they're going to let me in doing that.
All right, right now, I'm a believer in OTAs don't really matter that much. At no point during the upcoming season will anyone reference this month or next
100%,
month.
Yeah.
No one's going to so-and-so missed. What this is for the vets, it is the media is there to take attendance on behalf of the organization.
First thing.
Who's not there?
Yeah.
What, as a player, and you're always there. Most of the players go. Because what is voluntary isn't necessarily voluntary. At least that's the perception, right?
It can cause a distraction if you don't go because of how much.
If you don't go, what's it like if you're not there? What from the pressure to actually show up?
So this is actually going to be my second hot button issue that after health and safety. And
we have not talked previous to this.
No, OTAs, yeah. We're the only sport where you're talking about optional work. It's not our camp, right? It's not the NBA preseason.
And it's a headline
what they got in the MLB. You know, spring training is our camp. You know, back in the day, that's what the guys used to get in shape. We have like this pre-camp.
Right.
That, like, I don't see LeBron with the Lakers in Vegas when they do a little rookie league.
Oh, you're riding the banana boat.
Yeah, right. So, again, the NFL, man. So, yeah, I think some coaches handle it differently and they'll really communicate. Like, I think the media blows out of proportion with some coaches. Like, look, I understand you want to be with your family if you live in a different state in the off season and got kids. So I think it was really some more understanding about that. But if you're in town or you're just live out here, then, yeah, I mean, they're going to 100% expect you to be there. If you're a new player, new scheme, any reason to be there, you're going to have to be there. If you're the guy – that's been there and been productive, then maybe the coach understands. But it really does not matter like that if you know what you're doing.
Best show you've watched recently?
You know what? I'm not going to give you – I watched The Last Mandalorian season. It's great. But the movie, the Air movie was
– Oh, Chad saw this.
Oh, it's so good.
That movie was great.
Great soundtrack of 80s music.
Yeah, great movie. Great cast.
Yes.
Star-studded cast. Chris Tucker sighting.
Chris Tucker was great. So, I love how they don't show Michael, the actor playing Michael Jordan the whole time.
Yeah.
Because they said it would almost be distracting, you know, if he wasn't perfect, because everyone knows Michael Jordan. Everyone doesn't know the face of everyone else in the movie. Yeah. And they do a great job of camera tricks to hide him.
Yeah,
the entire time
when
he's in a room, you barely hear his voice talking to someone else at times. I loved it too.
So Phil Knight didn't like the idea at first, right?
Didn't like the idea of signing Jordan.
Yeah.
No one did, other than Sonny Vaccaro, is what you learn in this movie. He was the only one standing on a table saying,
"That's crazy,
take our
man.
Entire budget and give it to this
Their
one guy."
Their basketball division was really small. They're a running company. So they had a small basketball division. They just went like middle-tier players, gave them a little money, and they decided they wanted to put one scout or one person said, let's give all our money to this one guy, Michael Jordan, who they didn't even have ranked highest. And they just went all in pretty much on their entire basketball division on this one move, and obviously it paid them tenfold.
Chad and I think that LeBron wants to play with Bronny before he retires.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Everyone, the headline today is LeBron's hinting at retirement right now. The only way he does that is if he's sitting out to wait on Bronny.
Nah.
And then he's not leaving the NBA yet.
Nah, he's got, I think, 2 more years. Probably wait for Bronny. He's just tired, man. End of the year. I think of that every year. Man, I'm done.
Banged up.
I'm done. It's over. What am I going back for? You do that 20 years? He's tired. Like, just got swept. Man, I need a break. And then, you know, I think that urge will come back. And he's LeBron. He can do what he wants.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Because of his CBA.
But I heard he said that he's still better than 90% of the league, 95% of the league. Why retire?
And he probably is when healthy. I mean, he's got the foot problem. He's just banged up. How long does it take, Logan, after a season for you to feel like, okay, I'm ready to play again and I want to play? What's the time jump to when you feel better about it?
It depends on the injuries. Like, I've had 4 surgeries over 10 years, so almost every other offseason I'm – all right, shipped off to HSS New York, get a surgery and this for 3 months. I got crutches, scooters, you name it in my garage. So my kids are like, what toy we got this year? So some years when I get through it healthy, feeling good, I literally just keep myself away for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But I still do some active recovery, some yoga, some basketball, boxing, just different exercise. If I go couch potato mode, my body really hurts. And then other years, I'm just rehabbing, doing exact, like, grind straight to the rehab.
I've always been told, like I play, I've always been told by coaches, you don't retire in a month that starts with J.
Yeah.
Because you either feel terrible or you feel so good. And if you feel great, you want to play. And if you're contemplating retirement, you should at least try to make a roster to get one more paycheck. That's the theory. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's different. You saw what Tyreek Hill said. Like, hey, man, when I'm 30, I'm done.
He's out. Calling his shot.
And I think, like, perspective has changed because players have so much more ownership of their brands. Like, Tyreek Hill is an entity in himself. He's made a ton of money. He's like, man, why am I going to keep doing this and, like, getting hit and stuff when you don't have to? So I think back then guys were chasing, like, just legacy. One franchise. And now you rarely see players play on one franchise their whole career, right? You see Bobby Wagner leave. Like, why didn't Seattle just keep Bobby Wagner? Like, he's going to leave. Why did Tennessee, again, let go of Jarrell Casey? Like, why is Tennessee playing with Kevin Byard? Like, let this dude retire here. Like, he's going to be in the Ring of Fame. You know, but I feel like, as you see it, they're getting more cutthroats, more business savvy on the GM side, less loyalty. And the players are starting to view that as well. Like, man, why do I owe this city my, like, entire time if they're hardballing me or doing whatever?
Final thing for you, and we've got to move fast. Do the players understand the betting policy, the sports betting policy? I don't think they do. I really don't think they do. The league is sending a memo out to agents to spread the word.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, if you're in a legal state, as long as you're not on team property and you can't bet on the league.
You wouldn't bet on an SEC game on a team bus if you knew you were going to miss 8 games, right? I feel like you just didn't know the rule.
Do players get the rule?
I mean, we'd go a little like video like every year. You get your HR videos and stuff.
Yeah.
So you just kind of do that. I mean, I don't really gamble, but I wasn't even sure about the college football. Like, why does it matter? What inside info do we have? But like when you walk out the stadium and you see like
– oh. Yeah,
a gambling sign, or you're playing a game, you look up the scoreboard and they're promoting gambling, but everyone in the stadium can do it. The owner can promote it, Doesn't the owner have some say on the games? Can't he tell?
I was thinking the same thing. Front office, owner.
Mark Davis does. He's in Vegas.
Don't they got some insider info? Hey, pull this guy out in the fourth quarter. I got to bet on this.
They got a lot more money to bet, too, those owners.
And yeah, they know whether or not the guy's going to be inactive or not.
Yeah.
Despite a warm-up,
probably raise some red flags if Mark Davis put down $1 million on the Raiders to lose, though, at some point. I'd say that'd be an issue.
Logan, good to see you, man. And what shoes are you wearing? How much are they worth?
I don't know. That's a Brian Ware question.
Are those post-it notes on the shoes?
Yeah, they're off-white. Shout out to Virgil, man. RIP. I love these shoes. So they're pretty new. My wife had a pair for years, and I loved them, so I got me a pair.
Real Logan Ryan on social, the Brian Ware as well. You can check out on Instagram and check out the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation, RARF.org is the website. Logan, good to see you, man.
Good to be here, man. Appreciate
always
you
welcome.
Guys.
Thanks for doing this. Always really good.
Stay tuned. More coming here on Hot Mic. Hot Mic rolls on across the Outkick Network. Logan Ryan, always great.
So good.
Appreciate the visit there. Great to have him back in town briefly.
How about the field turf being maybe the next big battleground between NFLPA and owners?
It is. So, backstory. There are, I believe, 14 teams now of the 32 that have natural grass, a surface.
Which is sad.
Yeah, I agree. But here's the reality to it. The NFL, the owners are they're either in a dome or they're in a stadium where they're re-sodding this once or twice a year based on the events that they would like to hold during the summer. The owners, for the most part, have control of their stadiums however they'd like to book it. And if you have the grass surface, you know you have 10, potentially 10, it could be 9, 10 games per year, individual days per year that the venue is going to be in use. Beyond that, you'd like to have full state, the Garth Brooks, Taylor Swift tour, CMA Fest, whatever else you want to host. And you're resodding that every time you do that. With the turf, you're not doing that. And in theory, that's why a lot of these stadiums are doing it. Or they're domed and they just don't care. But so LA with the Rams and the Chargers and Dallas and LA are the two stadiums that have this new turf that actually has to be watered. It's artificial, but you water it based on like the coconut shell that's used instead of the rubber. And that's what here in Nashville, the Titans are now going to use in this upcoming season and in the new dome. The rest of the league is using this old artificial surface that the players claim is making them more susceptible to injury.
The rubber with the black rubber
that comes
off of it. Yeah, where you see
the black specs that pop up right there on the screen. They're claiming that the cleats grab and hold, and that's why you have a lot of your knee injuries, ankle injuries, or soft tissue injuries based on the turf, not the grass.
Every time we talk with Logan Ryan, we are enlightened. We learn something. I feel like I'm an enlightened man. I'm going to go coach this softball game now as a smarter person.
Ladies of perpetual, indulgence?
No, I don't think the parents would like that title of our 8 and 7, 8-year-old girls if we gave them that. Not the ladies of perpetual indulgence. No, not yet.
Is it going to be the anti-Catholic night?
No, they don't have that at our ballpark either. Yeah.
They just they allow anyone to come.
Pretty much. No payment to get in, Hutton. If you want to go watch the game tonight, you're more than welcome.
I won't care who I'm standing next to either.
Well, not at all.
Back at it tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern for Hot Mic.